We have reluctantly decided to drop our ban.
It just shows you how little juice the LGBT movement has.
Whatever mark I have made in activism will always pale in the light of Alexis's bravery and the bravery of every trans kid growing up in America.
I'm lucky enough to play shows and see the young faces of our community. And let me tell you, our future is so, so bright.
Welcome to This Way Out, the international LGBT radio magazine. I'm Greg Gordon. Hundreds are caught up in an apparent purge of gay men in Chechnya. Cash cows come back to Carolina. And Arquette and Sivan bring glad tidings to the LA Gala. Those stories and a lot more this week now that you've discovered This Way Out.
I'm Sarah Sweeney.
And I'm Wenzel Jones.
With NewsWrap, a summary of some of the news in or affecting LGBT communities around the world for the week ending April 8, 2017. While the world has been reeling over the horrific Syrian gas attack and its aftermath, the global queer community was rocked this week by reports out of Chechnya that dozens, if not hundreds, of gay men, or men perceived to be gay, are being rounded up, held in secret detention facilities, humiliated, and tortured. Men in a detainee's phone contacts are also being arrested and abused. According to several reports, the men are being targeted in connection with their non-traditional sexual orientation or suspicion of such. Some raids of known gay establishments have turned violent, and at least three men are already known to have died in the purge. Novaya Gazeta, the independent Russian newspaper that first broke the story, has published sometimes graphic accounts of three survivors. One photo shows a homemade electric chair in which one of the victims says he was tortured.
No one has been able to explain the sudden anti-gay crackdown. A government spokesperson claimed that there are no gay people in Muslim-majority Chechnya and you can't detain and harass someone who doesn't exist in the republic. Chechnya is part of Russia, but its regional government enjoys a certain degree of autonomy. The Kremlin has denied any knowledge of the purge. The foreign ministers from the U.S., U.K., and the European Union have joined a chorus of condemnation from the civilized world and are specifically calling for Russia's urgent intervention. The regional LGBTQ advocacy group, ILGA Europe, said in an April 7th update that the confidential 24-hour hotline for survivors and witnesses set up by the Russian LGBT network on March 29th is receiving an increasing number of calls. Practical help is being provided to a number of victims who wish to leave Chechnya, and communication continues with a number of others.
In other news, a U.S. federal appeals court ruled this week that Title VII of the Civil Rights Act of 1964 that forbids workplace discrimination based on sex protects lesbian, gay, and bisexual people, too. Max Pringle of Pacifica News reports.
The ruling by the 7th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals is the first time a federal appellate court has come to that conclusion. The decision comes after the 7th Circuit rejected a July finding by three of its own judges that the law doesn't cover sexual orientation discrimination and ordered a rare rehearing by the full court. The entire court reheard oral arguments in November and directed the toughest questions at a lawyer who argued only Congress could extend protections. The case stems from a lawsuit by Indiana teacher Kimberly Hively, who alleged that the Ivy Tech Community College in South Bend didn't hire her full-time because she is a lesbian.
The 8-3 vote by the entire Chicago-based Seventh Circuit is notable because decisions by three-judge appeals court panels are rarely reconsidered, let alone overturned. The Seventh Circuit, which hears cases originating in Illinois, Indiana, and Wisconsin, is also considered to be a relatively conservative court. Five members of the eight-judge majority in this case were appointed by Republican presidents.
Judge Diane Wood, a Clinton appointee, wrote for the Seventh Circuit majority that any discomfort, disapproval, or job decision based on the fact that the complainant, woman or man, dresses differently, speaks differently, or dates or marries a same-sex partner is a reaction purely and simply based on sex. That means that it falls within Title VII's prohibition against sex discrimination. In his concurring opinion, Reagan appointee Judge Richard Posner wrote that, I don't see why firing a lesbian because she's in the subset of women who are lesbian should be thought any less a form of sex discrimination than firing a woman because she's a woman. The decision clears the way for Kimberly Hively's employment discrimination lawsuit to proceed. A lower court had dismissed her case.
Ivy Tech Community College spokesperson Jeff Panter told reporters that Ivy Tech respects and appreciates the opinions rendered by the judges of the Seventh Circuit Court of Appeals and does not intend to seek Supreme Court review. The college denies that it discriminated against the plaintiff on the basis of her sex or sexual orientation and will defend the plaintiff's claims on the merits in the trial court. The Atlanta-based 11th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals concluded last month that Title VII does not protect LGB people, so the issue will likely need to be resolved down the road by the U.S. Supreme Court. Federal appeals courts have, for the past few years, determined that discrimination against workers for being transgender amounts to sex discrimination under Title VII. But this is the first U.S. appellate court to rule that Title VII also protects workers on the basis of sexual orientation.
A three-judge panel of the 5th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals, based in Lubbock, Texas, heard arguments this week in one of the first challenges to a state law that makes discrimination against LGBT people legal if it's based on sincerely held religious belief or moral conviction. The 5th Circuit handles cases from Louisiana, Mississippi, and Texas. The Mississippi State Legislature passed a law in 2016, not long after the U.S. Supreme Court made civil marriage equality the law of the land, that would let merchants and government employees cite religious belief to deny services to same-gender couples. So-called religious freedom bills, like that one, are popping up in states all over the country. The Mississippi statute specifies its three foundational beliefs: that marriage is only between one man and one woman, that sexual intercourse should only take place within heterosexual marriage, and that a person's gender is determined at birth and unchangeable. District Court Judge Carlton Reeves decided that the law was unconstitutional and granted a temporary injunction against its enforcement pending final resolution of the case. It could eventually be the first test of so-called religious liberty laws at the U.S. Supreme Court.
Mississippi Attorney General Jim Hood, a Democrat, refused to defend the law, so the appeal by Republican Governor Phil Bryant is being handled by private attorneys led by the Arizona-based Christian legal group Alliance Defending Freedom, which helped write the law. Two challenges to HB 1523 were combined for the Fifth Circuit panel to review. One by DOMA slayer Roberta Kaplan says the law is unconstitutional based on the First Amendment separation of church and state, while the other, by the LGBT advocacy group Lambda Legal, says the law should be overturned based on constitutional equal protection guarantees. Members of the three-judge panel are all considered to be politically conservative. One was appointed by Ronald Reagan, and the other two were picked by George W. Bush.
And in a third notable U.S. court case this week, this one in Colorado, District Judge Raymond P. Moore, an Obama appointee, ruled that a property owner violated both the Federal Fair Housing Act and the state's Anti-Discrimination Act by refusing to rent a two-bedroom townhouse in Boulder to a couple and their children. Landlord DePiki Avanti first said she turned them away because she was concerned about the kids being too noisy. She subsequently said that she wouldn't rent to them because of the family's uniqueness. Rachel and Tonya Smith are a lesbian couple, and Rachel is transgender. They've been married for 7 years, and their two kids are aged 7 and 3. Lambda Legal staff attorney Omar Gonzalez-Pagan celebrated the ruling on behalf of his clients. For the first time, he said, a federal court has ruled that the Fair Housing Act's sex discrimination prohibitions apply to discrimination based on stereotypes about sexual orientation and gender identity. Gonzalez-Pagan told Reuters that Lambda attorneys were working with Avanti's lawyers to resolve the case without further litigation.
And finally, Colorado Judge Neil Gorsuch was confirmed by the U.S. Senate on April 7th to fill the seat of the late Antonin Scalia on the U.S. Supreme Court. The vote of 54-45, a simple majority, broke with longstanding Senate tradition of requiring 60 votes for confirmation of high court justices after Democrats and independents united to filibuster the Trump nominee. After refusing to even hold hearings on the Supreme Court nomination by Barack Obama of Merrick Garland 14 months ago, the Senate's Republican Majority Leader Mitch McConnell of Kentucky resorted to that simple majority vote this week, referred to as the nuclear option, to put Gorsuch on the bench. The bruising confirmation battle underscored the sharp partisan divide in Congress that only seems to be getting worse. Advocates for LGBTQ equality worry about a judge who ruled in the Hobby Lobby case in favor of that company's refusal to include contraceptive coverage in its employee health plan based on the owner's religious beliefs. Gorsuch also wrote a dissertation in 2004 arguing against civil marriage equality. While he said during his confirmation hearings that marriage equality is now settled law, Gorsuch hinted that he might look favorably on measures allowing religious-based discrimination against married same-gender couples. On the other hand, some judges with conservative reputations have tempered their outlook on social issues once they've gotten on the high court, most notably Reagan appointee Justice Anthony Kennedy, for whom Gorsuch once clerked. Kennedy has written all three high court decisions since 2003, extending the rights of gay, lesbian, and bisexual Americans.
That's NewsWrap for the week ending April 8th, 2017. Produced by Steve Pride, written by Greg Gordon, and recorded at the studios of KPFK Los Angeles.
Follow the news in your area and around the world. An informed community is a strong community.
NewsWrap from This Way Out is brought to you by you.
Help keep us on the air and in your ears at thiswayout.org, where you can also read the text of this newscast. For This Way Out, I'm Sarah Sweeney.
And I'm Wenzel Jones.
Some inspiring words you'll be glad to hear later in the program.
Give me the ball, give me the ball, give me the ball, yeah! Give me the ball, give me the ball, give me the ball.
North Carolina's so-called repeal of the odious HB2 has definitely not scored many points with civil rights and LGBTQ activists. However, the state's disingenuous move seems to have won the game that Tar Heel lawmakers were most concerned about. Mark Miracle of Pacifica News reports.
The NCAA says it will consider North Carolina as a host for championship college events again after the state changed but did not repeal a law that limited protections for LGBT people. The NCAA said the new law meets the minimal NCAA requirements while expressing some concerns about provisions within it. The statement says a majority of the board reluctantly voted to allow for consideration of bids from North Carolina during current deliberations for sites running through the year 2022. Civil liberties and LGBT rights groups have denounced the new law, which continues to ban North Carolina's cities from passing local anti-discrimination measures until at least the year 2020. The new law did repeal the provision that requires transgender people to use the bathroom that corresponds to the gender on their birth certificates.
The NBA, the National Basketball Association, has followed suit, announcing that North Carolina will once again be considered to host its championship games. Andy Hum and Ann Northrup of Gay USA excoriated the commercial and sports-related groups that ended their boycotts, as well as the key legislative compromises that gave up the city of Charlotte's anti-discrimination ordinance and gave state lawmakers the option of reinstating the infamous bathroom ban. North Carolina's Democratic Governor Roy Cooper gets no free pass from them either.
First of all, the Atlantic Coast Conference said, oh, okay, we're back. And the local Chamber of Commerce said, we're open for business again. And the NCAA also said, in a nuanced statement, you know,
we have reluctantly decided to drop our ban, and we will consider putting championship games in North Carolina.
Which just, I hate to say it, folks, but it just shows you how little juice the LGBT movement has if we couldn't keep these corporations and associations in line.
They did forbid the non-discrimination laws, and this after suckering Charlotte into getting rid of its law.
Yes.
So I think existing laws in other towns stand, but no new ones can pass. And Charlotte's is gone, and they can't do a new one. Then the other thing is the trans bathroom stuff, which the state legislature now controls. So what's going to happen when the state legislature passes a new law any second now that reinstates the ban on trans people using the bathroom appropriate to their lived gender identity?
Well, look, the NAACP condemns this deal. You know, all the major civil rights groups have condemned this deal. Cooper said it was, by the way, it wasn't a perfect deal or his preferred solution. But, you know, they won. The other side won on this case.
That was Andy Hum and Ann Northrup. You can find them at gayusatv.org.
It began with hope, it epitomized change, and it ended with an unprecedented challenge. This Way Out follows Obama's rainbow reign, from the repeal of Don't Ask, Don't Tell, to the Supreme Court marriage equality victory, to his anti-discrimination executive orders, and his call for renewed commitment in the future, all in a new collection of historic feature reports available now on CD.
We coach Little League in the blue states. And yes, we've got some gay friends in the red states.
I am a fierce advocate for equality for gay and lesbian Americans.
We are not a nation that says, don't ask, don't tell. We are a nation that says, out of many, we are one.
I think same-sex couples should be able to get married.
Welcome to the White House. This is the 8th Pride reception that we will celebrate together.
I don't think it is something that will be reversible.
Obama's Rainbow Reign. Get this special CD production, available only at thiswayout.org.
Glitz and glamour are usually the headliners at the GLAAD Media Awards, but two honorees in particular added guts to the Los Angeles edition of the 28th annual gala this year. The LGBTQ advocacy organization gave prizes to Oscar Best Picture winner Moonlight, Golden Globe and Emmy blockbuster Transparent, and many other queer positive entertainment offerings. When it came to the leading roles for most inspiring speeches, it was Patricia Arquette and Troy Sivan, hands down.
You got to have friends. The feelings are so strong. You got to have friends.
Oscar-winning actor Patricia Arquette was named GLAAD's Vanguard Award winner, which recognizes a media professional ally who has increased the visibility and understanding of the LGBTQ community. Arquette's acceptance speech paid tribute to her sister Alexis, a trans woman who died from complications of AIDS last September.
Okay, I might start crying. I have this little toilet paper, but I may need a tablecloth at the end of this. The work that GLAAD has done has been critical in advancing LGBTQ acceptance worldwide, helping LGBTQ kids see that they belong and that they are loved and that there is nothing wrong with them. Because visibility matters. And right now, trans visibility really matters. It is not an easy life to be a trans person in the United States of America today. My sister Alexis challenged the movie industry at its core. She had a very successful career as an actor, and she knew she was risking losing work and her livelihood by living her truth. That she would lose parts by living her life as a trans woman, but she risked everything. She risked it all because she knew she couldn't live a life that was a lie. So whatever mark I have made in this life and activism will always pale in the light of Alexis's bravery and the light of the bravery of every trans kid growing up in America. This year we have already seen 8 trans women of color viciously murdered, some of them misgendered. 2 weeks ago, members of Congress asked Attorney General Jeff Sessions and the Department of Justice to launch a federal hate crimes investigation into the murders. And the response from Sessions? Silence. Well, we, the LGBTQ people and allies, don't do silence. You don't need to have a trans family member or a gay friend or a questioning kid for this to affect you. It doesn't matter what color or gender or faith you are. There's so many marginalized groups right now under attack. When one of us is vulnerable, all of us are vulnerable. And I feel like it's my mission, or our mission, to provide strength and support for all of our communities. We're not going anywhere. That's right, we're not going anywhere.
Yes, yes. That's right. We will not be erased from your census. So call your congresspeople. March in protest. Post on social media or donate to GLAAD. It's also my hope to bring the attention to discrimination and deep poverty most of our trans brothers and sisters struggle with daily. Trans women of color are the most likely group to live in deep poverty of any group. So I would like to ask businesses to make concerted efforts to train and hire our trans brothers and sisters so that they can have the same dignity and rights to work as any other citizen. There are people out there who say, you know what, you're an actor. You should really only speak when you're saying lines that have been written for you in a movie or a show. Well, it's yes, I am an actor. I'm also a taxpayer. I'm also a sister, and I'm an American, and I have something in common with every single person in this room. All the politicians in Washington, and even a guy who's living and golfing somewhere near the White House. We are all human. So let's allow our humanity to lead us towards respect, tolerance, towards faith in each other rather than fear of each other, and ultimately towards acceptance. Thank you.
That was GLAAD Vanguard Award winner Patricia Arquette.
My youth, is yours, a truth so loud you can't ignore my youth. My youth, is yours.
The youngest ever recipient of GLAAD's Stephen F. Kolzak Award for an LGBTQ media professional who has significantly promoted equality and acceptance was singer-songwriter Troy Sivan. He brought the house down with his moving reflections.
Growing up on the literal opposite end of the world in Western Australia, I was a small, slightly like underdeveloped, closeted Jewish boy. And so I would daydream of this admittedly very, very far-fetched life where I would come to LA, which to 12-year-old me was like this fantastical land where Michael Jackson lived and the arts came to thrive and, most importantly, Australian football came to die. I would dream of a world where it was possible for me to make my love of music my career. And silently and most often, I would dream of a world where I had confronted the monster that lived in the back of my mind. It was the one that I had run from my entire life. And it was the one that wanted to be very close friends with boys and for some reason, maybe even, God forbid, kiss them. And so I'm sure you can understand to be standing here right now, accepting this award just a few years later in LA, gay as can be, a world-renowned pop twink. It's absolutely surreal. So thank you so much. But this award is so much larger than me. So much of the work that has contributed to our progress as a community is far less glamorous than the work that I'm being honored for tonight. About a year or two ago, I watched a documentary called How to Survive a Plague. I highly recommend it to anyone who hasn't seen it. The doc is about the early years of the AIDS epidemic and the efforts of organizations like ACT UP and the Treatment Action Group. Within the characters in the doc, I saw myself, and I saw my friends, and I saw my colleagues, and I saw my boyfriend. And these kids were young, smart, active fighters. I saw that wit and that humor and that resilience that I've grown to love so much about my community. The difference was that these people were attending a friend's funeral on a weekly basis. This was in New York City, not even 40 years ago. They were fighting for medical treatment, they were fighting for visibility, and they were fighting for their lives. It was a life or death situation. Needless to say, the documentary shook me to my core. It was this kind of activism and sacrifice that paved the way for all of us to be here tonight. And so while I'm so thankful and fortunate to have this award, I would like to share it with the warriors who made it possible but maybe didn't get one for themselves. So this award is for Peter Staley, one of the featured activists in How to Survive a Plague. Peter was one of the driving forces behind ACT UP, the founder of the Treatment Action Group and a personal hero of mine. This is for Marsha P. Johnson and Sylvia Rivera, the godmothers of the Stonewall Riots, who also founded a transgender rights group in the 1970s. This is for Bayard Rustin. Bayard was an openly gay civil rights leader who worked alongside Martin Luther King Jr. and was largely written out of history as a result of homophobia. This is for Gilbert Baker, the creator of the rainbow flag, a symbol of pride who we sadly lost yesterday. This is for the Edie Windsors and the James Baldwins and the Frank Kamenys of the world, and the list goes on. This is for every volunteer at an HIV clinic around the world. This is for the staff at LGBTQ plus homeless shelters around the world, working all hours to get our homeless youth into safe spaces. It's for every GLAAD volunteer. It's for all of you in this room and for every parent who truly loves and supports their kid, whoever they are. That's where the real glory lies. All said, I know that we're in the most terrifying climate right now. 2016 was our deadliest year on record, with 27 transgender people killed in the US alone, the vast majority of victims being trans women of color. In Pulse nightclub in Orlando, we were the targets of the deadliest mass shooting in American history. 40% of homeless youth in this country identify as LGBTQ+. We have an administration in power eager to strip us of our most fundamental rights. Clearly, we have a very, very long way to go, but we must persist, as we always have. I'm lucky enough to play shows and see the young faces of our community when I do, and let me tell you, our future is so, so bright. Please don't let anyone strip you of your truth and your love, because those are the foundations of who we are as a community. In a time where it might be tempting to retreat into the shadows, I ask you to please be louder. Keep holding hands, keep finding pride in your identity, keep standing up for those in our community who are most vulnerable, keep love in your heart, and don't forget to share it with the world, because that love is something to be so proud of and something that no one can ever take from us. Thank you so much again, GLAAD, for the incredible work you're doing. Thank you for this enormous honor. Thank you.
That was GLAAD Stephen F. Kolzak Award winner Troy Sivan. But that's not all, folks. The sequel to this year's GLAAD Gala in Los Angeles, which you can now watch in its entirety on Logo TV, will be held in New York City on May 6th. Thanks for discovering This Way Out, the international LGBT radio magazine. This week, Sarah Sweeney and Wenzel Jones contributed program material, with thanks, as always, to Steve Pride. Thanks also this week to Pacifica Radio's Max Pringle and Mark Maracle, and to Ann Northrup and Andy Hum of Gay USA. Bette Midler and Troy Sivan performed some of the music you heard, and Kim Wilson composed and performed our theme music. This Way Out thanks to the Kicking Assets Fund of the Tides Foundation, the Yavanna Foundation, the estate of Christopher David Trentum, our contributing affiliate stations, and you, our listener donors, for making this program possible. It's always a good time to log on to thiswayout.org and join the family. And be sure to check out our new video promo for Obama's Rainbow Rain. Look for This Way Out on Facebook, Twitter, SoundCloud, Stitcher, and Google+. Email tworadio@aol.com or write to us at P.O. Box 1065, Los Angeles, California, 90078, USA. For Associate Producer Lucia Chappell and everyone at This Way Out, I'm Greg Gordon. Thanks for listening online at thiswayout.org and on Rainbow Radio FM, New York, New York, 3PVR, Mill Park, Victoria, WRIR, Richmond, Virginia, and more than 200 other stations around the world, including this community radio station. Stay tuned.